Ever wonder why American conservatives celebrated Reagan's 1980 victory by wearing Adam Smith neckties? The answer reveals how profoundly dead economists continue to influence our lives. These intellectual giants didn't just theorize in ivory towers, they fundamentally transformed how we understand wealth, poverty, and everything between. From Smith's revolutionary insights about free markets to Keynes saving capitalism during the Great Depression, their ideas have lifted billions from poverty and continue shaping decisions that affect us daily. Economic thought isn't just academic debate, it's the invisible architecture of modern life, determining everything from the prices we pay to the jobs we hold. When these dead economists speak, markets still listen. Adam Smith's 1776, The Wealth of Nations, revolutionized economics by championing free markets driven by self-interest, opposing mercantilist views of restricted trade and royal monopolies. Smith's market system operates through self-interest and competition. When prices rise too high, customers shop elsewhere. Even price-fixing cartels get undercut by new entrants. This dynamic constantly reshapes industries. Streaming replaced CDs, sales dropping 90% between 2000 and 2018, while Blockbuster's 9,000 stores vanished as home viewing costs plummeted. Smith showed that national wealth grows through division of labor. His pin factory example demonstrated 10 specialized workers producing 4,800 pins daily, a 400,000% increase over individual production. This specialization succeeds because workers develop specific skills, waste less time switching tasks, and more likely invent helpful machinery. Despite his business-friendly reputation, Smith actually advocated for ordinary people, criticizing merchants while supporting free trade for its benefits to the common man. He believed market systems allowed even the poor to prosper, unlike centrally guided economies where political connections determined wealth. Thomas Malthus shattered utopian dreams with his theory, population grows geometrically while food supplies increase arithmetically. Using American data showing population doubling every 25 years, he demonstrated how humanity would outstrip resources. Within 200 years, 256 people would share just 9 food baskets. He identified 2 checks: positive checks, raising death rates, war, famine, and preventative checks, lowering birth rates, delayed marriage. Malthus's essay convinced Prime Minister Pitt to abandon poor relief, arguing such aid encouraged population growth. Though Dickens later caricatured this thinking through Scrooge's comments about surplus population, Malthus genuinely sympathized with the poor. Malthus was correct for most of human history until approximately his own lifetime. But around his birth, everything changed. His predictions failed because he missed crucial trends: medical advances, agricultural revolution, and industrialization. The demographic transition showed that as societies industrialize, birth rates eventually decline. Most economists remain skeptical of modern doomsday reports, noting they use static assumptions like Malthus did. These models ignore how prices signal economic agents to conserve resources and seek alternatives. David Ricardo mastered economic theory while amassing a fortune in the stock market, despite lacking formal education. His intellect was such that he dismissed opposing views as ones only a university professor would be silly enough to believe. Ricardo's law of comparative advantage remains economics' most profound principle. While Smith advocated trade based on absolute advantage, Ricardo proved that even if one nation excels at producing everything, both nations benefit from specialization in trade. Using opportunity cost analysis, he showed countries should specialize where they sacrifice least. Economists rarely agree, yet consistently unite against trade restrictions. History shows inward-turning economies typically decline, as seen during the Great Depression when high tariffs worsened conditions. protectionism's costs are substantial. 1980s Japanese auto import restrictions cost American consumers $350 million as car prices rose by $3,000, while saving merely 10,000 jobs at $35,000 each. Similar protection cost $100,000 per steelworker job saved. Ricardo foresaw two futures: prosperity through open trade or decline through isolation, where growing population would force cultivation of inferior lands, ultimately benefiting only landlords. John Stuart Mill's life reveals the philosophical tensions within classical economics. Educated intensively from age 3, Mill became an intellectual prodigy but emotionally stunted. At 20, Mill suffered a mental breakdown, realizing his reformist goals wouldn't bring happiness. For months, he contemplated suicide, having lost all sense of purpose. Mill found salvation through Romanticism. Like Nietzsche's contrast between Apollonian reason and Dionysian emotion, Mill discovered Wordsworth's poetry, awakening his capacity for joy. His transformation included falling in love with Harriet Taylor, whom he later married. This personal journey shaped his economic methodology. Unlike his father's rigid deductive approach, Mill embraced both deduction and induction, recognizing human behavior's inconsistencies. In Principles of Political Economy, Mill balanced positive economics, describing what is, with normative economics, advocating what should be. He supported proportional income taxes exempting the poor while opposing progressive taxation as penalizing harder work. However, he advocated high inheritance taxes, understanding they don't discourage productivity like income taxes do. At Cambridge, John Maynard Keynes's intellect intimidated even Bertrand Russell. Though academic, his ideas influenced presidents from Roosevelt to Nixon, fading after the 1970s, only to resurge during the 2008 and 2020 economic crises. After World War I, Keynes represented the Treasury at the Paris Peace Conference, resigning when Wilson was manipulated into imposing harsh terms on Germany. His bestseller, The Economic Consequences of the Peace, predicted another world war if Germany remained economically devastated. During the Great Depression, Keynes challenged Say's Law by exposing two flaws in classical economics. Savings don't automatically become investments, households and businesses have different motivations, and wages and prices aren't as flexible as assumed. Keynes advocated government intervention to boost demand, using his famous metaphor about burying money-filled bottles in abandoned mines to illustrate that any spending could revive a stalled economy. Despite poor health, Keynes remained active during World War II. Before dying in 1946, he articulated his enduring belief that economists' ideas are more powerful than commonly understood. Indeed, the world is ruled by little else. Economics confounds brilliant minds because economists can't run controlled experiments like biologists. While astronomers predict celestial events precisely, economists work with tendencies that have exceptions. Higher output typically lowers prices, except with luxury goods. Increased money supply generally reduces interest rates unless inflation fears arise. All great economists acknowledge the government-economy relationship. Smith criticized government support of guilds, while Marx saw government as an exploitation tool. Both recognized that political pressures often drive economically harmful policies. Good economic policies inevitably create casualties. Free trade hurts domestic producers, low inflation hurts borrowers, innovation displaces workers, making them politically difficult despite overall benefits. Labor management relations have improved, with workers taking larger production roles and unions aligning with company success. More efficient global capital markets now pressure underperformers while enabling worldwide funding. Economic growth requires more than physical inputs. It demands ideas and entrepreneurship. Solow found growth needs an educated population, while Romer emphasizes idea gaps alongside physical infrastructure. society benefits broadly from innovations, justifying incentives like patents. Material prosperity won't resolve all issues. Inequality persists, though consumption taxes might address it better than income taxes. A deeper question remains: can humans adapt to technology that renders traditional jobs obsolete?